Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Hello, entrepreneurs. Hello, people. Hello, people that want to be entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs, we call them. I don't know about you, but insurance is a big, giant problem. Everybody I know, from family members, my older brother, my children, friends, everybody's like, what do I do? It's a horrible place to be. The world has changed so much, and there's so many giant question marks around insurance because it's so dang expensive that I felt like we should talk to somebody that kind of knows what they're doing. Matter of fact, Mike Crow, founder and CEO of ClearSurance, he learned management style from co-founding 7 companies. He's outside of Boston right now, joining us by phone. Mike Crow, welcome to the show. What is ClearSurance?
ClearSurance is analog to TripAdvisor. We were looking to build an online marketplace for insurance consumers powered by ratings and reviews from other insurance consumers. So at its essence, what we've built now is a decision support tool for someone that wants to start and possibly end their shopping for insurance online.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Many car dealers and car salesmen get a bad rap of being kind of the and attorneys. You know, there's nothing lower than an attorney except whale poop, which is on the bottom of the ocean. Those kind of jokes you hear, right? And now I have a couple of attorneys that are fantastic. They're honest. They have character. They're decent. And I always feel bad for those guys and gals. And they've won many a case for me. Not many, because I haven't had to do too many, but put it this way, I've never lost one, knock on wood. I've been very fortunate because I have these people that champion my cause. But how do you find that kind of character in a person in the world of insurance? I'm going to finish telling another story. I had the experience that most people talk about, attorneys and car salesmen and the rest, with insurance people. I've had nothing but bad experiences. And I'll give you a good example. My father's 91 years old, and recently I had to take over his company. He asked me to take it over, and it's like a 60-year-old company. And, you know, for many, many years, my dad was just letting everything idle along, and everything was going well. And all of a sudden, I started to kind of think, you know, I wonder where I can save some money. And one of the first places I looked was the insurance, because my father has a lot of holdings, a lot of properties and things. And so we went and I had kind of an audit. I had somebody else who was doing my insurance audit the people that were doing my father's company's insurance. And let me just tell you that we saved $20,000 a year, which was about, we almost cut the bill in half because of all the things that were going on in my dad's organization. But how can anybody, Mike, how can any organization take such advantage of, I'm going to say, the elderly? Because I started looking and they had these increases of 8% a year for years and years and years. And I looked at this and I went, oh my God, this is highway robbery. And I think there's so much of this going on. That's why when I saw what you guys are doing, I thought, people, this is an awakening call. Make sure that you keep watching your insurance, you know, providers. And I hope that's not saying too much to start the show here, Mike, but I was really, I was taken aback by what I learned through these audits.
Yeah, I'm not surprised you really hit right at the heart of the matter, which is a lot of people put their insurance on set it and forget it.
Yeah.
They may depend upon an agent or a broker. They may buy direct, but they don't want to take the time to put it out to bid. And, you know, best practices, even for your personal financial household, it's just good practice for you to put your insurance out to bid to keep everybody in the value chain honest. You know, people forget that brokers and agents, they get paid a percentage of the premium that you're paying. So they don't get paid less as your premiums go up. They get paid more. And you need to make sure that everyone's interests are aligned. And I think the best way to keep the process honest is by putting it out to bid every 2 or 3 years, like you would for your business, with an auditing firm or a benefits firm, but insurance is no different. And people shouldn't treat their personal household finances any differently.
Yeah. Well, and health insurance, I have a lot of questions for you, and hopefully you'll be able to answer for a lot of the people that are listening. Entrepreneur or not, insurance is such a big expense in our lives these days. Maybe Mike Crowe, founder and CEO of ClearSurance, can help us all to understand a better way to purchase insurance. All right, I'm Alan Taylor. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll be right back and learn together.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today.
Well, you're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. I'm Alan Taylor. Don't forget, pick up a copy of Entrepreneur Magazine at newsstands everywhere, all around the country and even around the globe, because you'll see it in India and, you know, all, no matter where you go, there's entrepreneurs out there, and we're there too. We're talking to Mike Crowe, founder and CEO of ClearSurance. You know, I've always thought, you know, when I saw the gecko that says you can save money in 15 minutes by, you know, making a phone call, I thought to myself, you know, that's pretty brilliant. Even before I did an audit on my dad's company, and then I, of course, realized that I had done the work, the homework with my insurance guy, because I went to a guy that had a marketplace. And ClearSurance is a customer-first marketplace, is what you guys say, for insurance consumed by crowdsourced ratings and reviews. It seems to me like the insurance marketplace is not as, clear. I mean, that's why maybe your name, ClearSurance, it's not as clear and understandable to the consumers as maybe it should be. And maybe there's a reason for that, Mike.
Well, that's right. Insurance is a notoriously opaque industry, unlike the airline industry, where you can actually go and look at comparative airfares. There's really nowhere you can go as an insurance consumer or business owner online to see true comparative pricing. So there are some companies out there that advertise that they will show you comparative pricing, but really what you're seeing is you're getting quotes from companies, and people have to keep in mind, agents and brokers are appointed representatives of specific insurance companies. And the way they earn profit is by concentrating premium with a small number of insurance companies. So if you're an insurance agent or broker, it doesn't necessarily benefit you or help you generate profit by spreading out insurance premium amongst too many insurance companies. So that's one of the challenges facing the industry today. And then just knowing, so you may have a couple different price quotes, but just knowing the reliability or the rating of that insurance company according to its policyholders. So that's really what we set out to try to address and solve.
You know what I've noticed too a lot of lately is that there's a lot of Medicare related commercials right now. I mean, because us baby boomers, I'm one. We are, you know, we're starting to, I mean, I just had an operation a month ago, gallbladder removed. And it was like, oh my gosh, I was in the hospital for days and days, and they did all these amazing things to save my life. And yes, they saved my life. So how do I repay them? I pay my insurance premiums, because thank God I wouldn't want to have to pay that bill. You know what I mean? But it's like, you know, my parents, my dad's 91, my mom's 88, both still alive. And I'm thinking to myself, thank God they have insurance and Medicare and all the other things. You have to have insurance on top of insurance when you get older. So it's very confusing, and you have to be careful that you're comparing apples to apples and not apples to, you know, tennis shoes. It's that different, isn't it?
It really is. And you have to understand that if you're buying insurance through an independent agent or even a captive agent that only sells a insurance for a specific insurance company, that you're not really getting a full market check. You're only getting quotes from a very small number of insurance companies that those agents or brokers represent. And with Medicare, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's going to be a product line that we're going to stand up on the ClearSurance website next year. But there's, as you said, there's 15,000 people in the country turning 65 every day.
Every day.
Be the case for the next couple of decades.
Whew.
Every day. Yep. In the U.S. alone. So that's why you're seeing so much capital in advertisement trying to grab market share. But again, it's another insurance product line that is sold predominantly through independent agents. So if you don't have a scrupulous agent or an agent that explains to you the differences and can I see my doctor in this insurance program and what's covered and is it something that's going to financially benefit me, then you might be getting sold a policy you don't need or isn't tailored to your specific needs.
Well, and you find out when it's too late, like my insurance.
Exactly.
I said to my wife, I got home, you know, from the doctor and I said, are we covered for that? It's like, you ought to know this stuff. And I hate to say that we consumers are so asleep at the wheel with this stuff because we don't know what to do. We don't know who to trust. So hopefully ClearSurance can help. I got to take another little break here, but man, this is there. I'm hoping that you guys can almost take a step back and put on the consumer's shoes and have like a list of, here's the questions you really ought to be asking, because these are ones that are going to make a difference when you come home from the hospital and you go, honey, we better call the attorney. This is not looking good. You know, I ever want to hear that. We'll take a little break and talk more with Mike Crowe. He's the founder and CEO of ClearSurance.com on the web. Check it out. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Well, you're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Is this song about you, insurance agents and companies? You give love a bad name. You give insurance a bad name, and we all need it. It's that one major household item that you have to have, but you can't touch it or feel it, but you have to have it. It's on everybody's mind. As you're driving down the car right now, driving down the road in your car, or riding your bicycle, taking a walk, whatever you're doing, listen to the podcast, listen to on the radio show. This is in your mind because it's a major expense. If you didn't have to have it, you could have the nicest car you couldn't even imagine, but you have to have it. So you drive that pile of junk you're in right now or in your driveway. I know, it sucks. Mike Crowe's with us. He's the founder and CEO of ClearSurance. ClearSurance.com. ClearSurance.com, ClearSurance. Mike, are you guys trying to steer people? Because, I mean, I can do my own, you know, investigations in Better Business Bureau, Yelp reviews, things like that. I mean, seriously, is this as for real as what it sounds like? Because I think people are thinking, oh, how does Mike make money? So maybe you could answer that.
Yeah, sure. No, it's a great question. And what we're doing is the opposite of trying to steer people to one or a few insurance companies. We've built a recommendation engine that's based on making algorithmic recommendations based on what's important to you. What's your buying preference? Do you want the company with the best price? Do you want the highest rated company? Or do you want the company with the best value with the best combination of rating and price? So the recommendations we're making for folks, first of all, a user on ClearSurance can sort and filter by what's important to them. So you can determine whether price is going to drive your decision. And even if it is, how important is it that you have a highly rated carrier? If you don't care about the reputation of the carrier, you just want the cheapest insurance, you can find that. But that's really up to the user. If you want a company that's highly rated and has good prices, a so-called value choice, then you can do that as well. So we don't get paid to steer people to any one specific insurance company. Our revenue model is twofold. We have subscriptions from insurance carriers that want to get deeper consumer insights as to what their policyholders say they do well and don't do so well, so that they can actually run their business better and respond to their own policyholders. And then we also do generate click-through revenue. So any insurance company that wants to publish a live link on their profile page on ClearSurance can do that. And if a user wants to click through because they see this is a highly rated company based on what its policyholders say, and I want to get a quote from this company because they write homeowners in California, they can do that. And if they click through to get a quote, we get paid. But we don't get paid to steer you to any one specific insurance
company. All
right.
And I just,
we have 520 insurance companies, by the way, reviewed on the platform.
Nice. And I want everybody to know I'm not getting paid in click-throughs or anything like this. I just know that it's on all of our plates right now. This is a concern that we all have, like I said, It's a major financial household item that you have to have but cannot see. It's just there to protect you. So we need to make informed decisions when it comes to insurance from unbiased people that are giving us good information on ratings and reviews and not just being paid to have that insurance or this insurance company bubble to the top. The ratings and reviews are what bubble them to the top in that case and what they've done through their actions. All right, now here's my question for you. You have obviously done a lot of business with co-founding seven companies. As an entrepreneur, how has that changed you over the years? You know, as running this type of a company, this is a big deal.
It sure is. And starting up any company is a real challenge. And what I say to people who are interested in entrepreneurship is there's no way to learn more about yourself and who you are, good, bad, and indifferent. I know being an entrepreneur hasn't only made me a better business person, it's made me a better husband, a better father, and a better friend. There is nothing that will challenge you more personally. At the end of the day, you're responsible for everything. So when things go wrong, it's not someone else's fault, it's your fault. When things go right, you don't get the credit. Your team gets the credit. I think what a lot of people maybe don't understand about entrepreneurship is it's not about you. It's not about the entrepreneur or the CEO. It's about everybody else. My job every day is to make sure that everybody in the organization feels supported and understands what's expected of them. But I'm here for them. They're not here for me.
You know, it's funny you say that because I woke up this morning and I got an email from my brother. He is that baby boomer that'll be turning 65. And he was asking me about insurance and, you know, what he's going to do. And my first thought was, because this was early this morning, I thought, you know, well, I don't know. Because, see, I'm not there yet. He's almost 6 years older than me. And I thought, why is he asking me? And then I thought, oh, that's right. I'm in charge. That's my job right now in this organization. I'm in charge, even though he's older than me. And I thought to myself, well, you know what it boils down to? And I think you just hit on it, Mike. I have to care enough to look into it. That's why when I saw what our stuff was today, I go, well, this is perfect. This is God's way of answering my question that my brother asked me. My question is, how do you know? Well, you have to care enough to find out. That's what you've put together here with Clear Insurance, is caring people, caring to bring this to the marketplace where people can find out, you know, from data, ratings data, that they don't know how to find any other way unless they go to the Better Business Bureau. And I think that's limited even anyway at best. So congratulations. And I'm hoping that you are very successful with this because we need more companies like this ClearSurance company. And I can't wait to point my brother to it today. How's that?
Great, Alan. Thank you. Appreciate all that.
All right. We'll take a little break. You guys now know where you can go to have a marketplace for insurance powered by crowdsourced ratings and reviews. It's called ClearSurance. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. We try to be a service like that too. We'll be right back.
Oh, if the sky comes falling down for you.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
All right, I'm a business traveler, and like many, I really want to get my platinum status this year, and man, I'm telling you, I gotta travel one more time for no reason whatsoever to get my platinum status. And you know why? Because if you travel, you know that it's not that fun. I mean, it sounds kind of glorious and kind of like, oh, Alan, you're everywhere. And I'm like, yeah, which means I'm not home where I want to be. But travel is another big thing on our mind. So we talked about insurance. Now let's talk about travel. And I happen to have a guy I think probably knows a lot about travel, being that he is the founder of Travelocity and co-founder of Kayak.com and author of a brand new book, Disruption Off. His name is Terry Jones. He's on the show right now. Terry, what's going on, brother?
Hey, it's great to be here, and I hope you take that last trip. You know, you just have to find the shortest trip in order to, you know, get that done. I do the same thing. Can't travel 100 days a year like I do without being a plan.
Yeah, no, I know. And I, it's like I need 693 miles or something. It's like, all right, I'm going to come visit you because I think if I go back and forth, that's about how much it is. And you're in Lake Tahoe.
You come down to Lake Tahoe from where you are, that's 693 miles.
Exactly.
You can come down, we'll have a hot dog in the airport, and you go back.
It's it. Isn't that sad? So first of all,
it's crazy, but you know, it makes a big difference because
yeah,
for those of us who travel all the time, you know, the upgrades are great, but the best thing, and I'm an online guy, right? I started two of the biggest online travel companies, but the best thing is when you need it, to call that number and get somebody who can bail you out of a jam.
Yeah, exactly right.
That's important.
So with a lot of travel going on with the holiday season and everything, I thought, well, this is perfect because maybe, you know, I'm not going to ask you to give us, you know, tips and all that kind of stuff, but it's on our mind. You know what I'm saying? And
sure.
So for you being an entrepreneur and now like a super entrepreneur with what you've done, maybe you could just talk about the journey a little bit because you've like lightning struck twice for you, which is fantastic. And maybe
yeah,
a third
time. Yeah,
you
know, it's been a long run. I started my career as a travel agent, believe it or not. And I walked into this company. After college, I decided I wanted to get into travel. I did some work at night to study how to do it. And I'm walking to this company, and I go to make my first reservation. The guy said, oh, we do those by telegram. I said, excuse me? It's 1978. And, you know, they actually had a machine. It was sort of like a fax machine, but it sent telegrams if you were making a booking abroad.
Wow.
My last company was artificial intelligence for travel. So I've gone from telegrams to AI. It's been a long journey.
My goodness.
I jumped from that travel agency into a company that sold mini computers to travel agents. That company was sold to American Airlines.
Mm.
So I was inside American Airlines. I ran applications development, all the programmers. I ran all the computers, one of the biggest computer systems in the world at the time. We powered 40 airlines and 40,000 travel agents. I lost my hair doing that job. And then I became CIO, as Chief Information Officer at American. When I was doing that, they gave me this little online project we had. We had a booking thing called Easy Saber. It was on CompuServe and Prodigy and AOL. And it was 1996. I said, let's put it on the internet. That's kind of the first year you could.
Right.
And we put it on the internet, and it grew like a weed in the spring. It was amazing. And so I stopped being CIO. I said, I want to go do that full time. And remember, this is entrepreneurship. This is a startup inside American Airlines.
That's why I love the story. Yeah.
Yeah, it was directly competitive with our core business, which was automating travel agents. The agents weren't so happy about this new idea.
Right.
But my boss, the chairman of American, said, somebody's going to do it. It may as well be us. And that's a wonderful attitude to have.
I love it.
And I talk a lot about it in my book, Disruption Off. Somebody's going to do it. And you don't want it done to you. You know, the only difference between innovation and disruption, they're two sides of the same coin. You only call it a disruption because you didn't do it.
Right.
If you did it, it would be an innovation.
Now, let me ask you
but
something.
You didn't.
Let me ask
right?
you something. So, you know what happens to a lot of people in this, what you called intrapreneur? It's an entrepreneur on the inside of a big organization. Greed
yep.
steps in. And then what happens is they withhold the love, if I can say that, because they're like, they're starting to negotiate. And I'm asking all this for a reason, because what happens is, you know, was it your idea? Is it something that you championed? Did you do it because you wanted to do what was best for the company and let the law of reciprocity work for you? Where was your head when your boss said, we might as well do this? Did you for a moment go, I got to get a piece of this action? Were you dignified about how you handle it? Were you belligerent? Just give me that for a minute.
Well, you know, at that point, it was so small, you weren't sure it was going to work at all. So I can't say I was greedy then. later, as it grew up,
yeah.
we were competing against companies like Priceline that were public and growing like a weed. And I said, we need to give stock options to our people. And they said, we don't do that. You know, we only give stock options to the top three guys in the company. I said, how am I going to compete? You know, and it was a huge battle because the people on the Board of America were like the chairman of Sears and, you know, old line companies. They didn't get it.
Right.
And that was tough. Eventually, we did give people options. Eventually, we bought another travel agency that was public. And so we all got shares. And we made out fine. Not the same as if we'd started the company ourselves.
Right.
But we did well. But it was that was painful for them. That was difficult. And in fact, at one point, my direct boss decided we should hold a debate about whether we should keep or sell Travelocity because we were losing money. All the other divisions could have deployed that money right away and given a good return. So they said, give us the money. And we had the debate, and luckily Travelocity won, and we kept it, and they made $1 billion, right?
Right.
But having that debate also got all that carping to stop because we all agreed in the end, we have to place this bet. That's hard to do. And you're right. You know, new ideas are kind of like viruses. They're surrounded by white cells and killed, you know, inside corporations.
Right.
So one of the chapters of the book talks about the biggest problem in big companies is they don't want to take risk.
All right, hold tight. I got to take a break. It's going to run me over. Disruption
yep.
Off is the book. The author, Terry Jones, founder of Travelocity and Kayak, co-founder of Kayak.com. This is exactly what we need. This entrepreneur now who started as an intrapreneur. So many of us make the same old mistake. We have a great idea and then we get greedy with it. And that's what I was trying to get to is just let the law of reciprocity do what it's going to do, but also be a little bit, you know, like, hey, boss, this is a great idea. Mind giving me a little bit here? Throw a dog a bone. I don't think there's anything wrong with asking, because if you don't ask, you ain't going to get it. We're going to take a break. It's Entrepreneur Weekly.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
We're talking with Terry Jones. He's the founder of Travelocity, co-founder of Kayak.com, and author of Disruption Off, brand new book out. And, you know, I think this is so interesting with all that you have done, Terry. But I'm curious, you know, I want to know about the book and you know, there's so much going on with disruptive technologies facing business today. And so I thought, you know, maybe we could just talk about all this stuff while you're on the show here. But give me a couple minutes on your book, Disruption Off. What's the name first?
Well, it's the technological disruption coming for your company, and more importantly, what you can do about it. It came out of the fact that I've been lecturing on innovation for years, and people wanted to talk about disruption and what was coming at them. And I thought, well, that's the burning platform that'll get them to innovate if they understand what's coming. So the book talks about 10 disruptive technologies, from 5G to 3D printing to drones to blockchain. It talks about new business models like sharing and platforms and outcomes. And then it talks about what to do about it. What are the things that any business should do? And we talked about a few of them. Take more risks, experiment, right? Kill the silos in your business. And so there are 20 ideas that anybody can adopt to say, what can I do no matter what's coming? Mm. So I give examples of how the technology is being deployed in many industries to help kind of open your mind. And maybe that's all you need to spark you. Say, hey, I'm going to go deploy 3D printing. But probably you ought to read the last part of the book, because that's going to give you the lessons that you can use no matter what is coming after you.
Okay. It's interesting. I'm looking at some notes here about you right now. You've, of course, worked for these big companies that you've been involved with and actually been the CEO of.
Yep.
But it looks like you've also served on 17 boards. And
right.
So you get
right.
to learn a lot. Almost it's like going to the hangings. You know, you get to see what's going on. And then all
well,
of a sudden,
yeah.
Oops.
It's not all hangings, but you learn a lot. Look, I've had everything happen. I've had to fire CEOs, to hire CEOs, to go public, to go private, to split companies up, to have startups that failed, to have startups that went public and succeeded. Teaches you a lot. And all of those lessons are sort of distilled in this book, looking at those companies who saw technological change coming and those who didn't. And those who even couldn't change. I was on the board of Earthlink. You remember Earthlink, a dial-up company?
Yeah.
You know, tried to change, spent a lot of money trying to change. In the end, they couldn't get out the other side. But I'm on another company started by the same guy, Boingo, who you know from providing Wi-Fi in airports.
Yeah.
Well, Wi-Fi went free. That was pretty tough. You know, have a free business model. Hey, what do we do today? We provide cellular service in airports, in stadiums, for the Army, Marines, and Air Force around the world. We're expanding into providing cell service and Wi-Fi in apartments. We had to change the business model because our core revenue was cut out from underneath us. And, you know, it's a successful company today, but that's very hard to do. You have to be willing to throw out the old and embrace the new. And with all these new technologies coming, you really don't have a choice.
So interesting. So when you were on all these different boards and you've been learning all these different things, you decided, you know, I got to write a book about this. That's Disruption Off. Where can it be found? You said it's a new book, so it's out there.
Yeah, it's on Amazon, and it's a paperback. It's also an audio book and a Kindle book. And it's an unusual kind of short-form media. It's 103-page chapters, right? So it's very short. You can use it as a cookbook. It's how people read today. My last book called On Innovation was the same way, and people actually read it and finish it. You can read it front to back or back to front. So you can learn about these technologies and new business models. I'll give you a great one. Philips, the lighting company, approached the Amsterdam airport and said, we want to sell you light. They said, what? They said, no, instead of bulbs, we want to sign a 20-year contract to light the airport. So they did. Now, what did that make Philips do? Well, guess what? They put in bulbs that use 50% less energy because now they're paying the light bill, right?
Yeah, right.
They use bulbs that last 75% longer because they don't want to change them.
Right.
And when the bulbs do burn out, they take them back to the factory and recycle them in the circular economy because it's in their interest to do so.
It is so
smart. So they have a long-term
smart
contract with great revenue.
Right.
And a whole new business model.
And it's funny because the guys that were servicing that airport put their finger in their nose and went, what the hell just happened? I love that. All right, hang
exactly
tight. When we come back, Terry Jones, you can find him at TB as in boy, tbjones.com. He's going to be the professor and give us some of his 100 chapters, 3 pages each. I love that. Even in the book form, you've disrupted things. You know, like, what's the average? 10, 12 chapters. 100 chapters? Who does that? Terry Jones. We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Weekly.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Whether you have a great idea you want to launch or a business you're running that you want to grow, Woman Entrepreneur's powerful Build Like a Woman curriculum of online courses gives you all the tools you need to take your business to the next level. From digital self-paced courses, virtual coaching sessions, and webinars with experts, we power the entire journey, arming women entrepreneurs and leaders with what they need to start, grow, and flourish. Get started today. It's free to start. Enroll now at entrepreneur.com/courses. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/courses.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Doesn't matter if you're a travel agent or the guy that was a travel agent and founded Travelocity and co-founded Kayak.com, being an entrepreneur has all the same principles at the end of the day. He is the author now of Disruption Off. You can find it on Amazon. But he is now here to give us a couple of his 100 chapters, about 3 pages each. I think it's brilliant, by the way. You know why? Because the world has changed. I think there's people like me out there that I'll read 3 pages and feel like I had, you know, the cheeseburger and fries. I don't need 2 cheeseburgers today, just one. So I want to fill up on something, you know?
So many business books are a great beginning, a good ending, and a lot of hamburger helper talking about cheeseburger
yeah,
in the middle, right? And so I've tried to make each one of these chapters hit home. And, you know, if you just look at these technological examples, take 3D printing. You're a car guy.
Yep.
GM just added AI to 3D printing to redesign a very pedestrian thing, a seat bracket. And they did 1,000 iterations of what the bracket should look like. There's a picture in the book of the one they picked. It looks like a Klingon starship.
Yeah, right.
Well, why is that important? Because it has 40% less mass and 20% less weight than the initial bracket. Now, if everything had 20% less weight and was stronger, what would that do for mileage? What would that do for manufacturing costs?
Right.
The majority of hearing aids are now 3D printed. That happened in 4 years. The guys who didn't change are gone.
Right.
So there are lots of examples like this all through the book. Robotics. I was in Iceland recently working for this Department of State, and somebody said, oh, you ought to go in this cow barn. I said, well, I've seen cows. And they said, no, go watch. Cow walks in. Robot hooks up the milking machine. Cow is chewing away, gets milk, walks out, no people.
Wow.
Wow, cow is happy. They're right. Producing more milk. And you might say, well, that's sad because there are no people. It's almost impossible to get people to work in a cow barn these days. Nobody wants to do it.
Right.
So, you know, people look at this in a new way. So each one of these chapters has examples of how things are being deployed. And then there's a whole section called Owning the Edge. And that has to do with the fact that, here's another car example. Shell has partnered with GM. Now, if you're driving your car and you're about to be out of gas, a little ad pops up saying, hey, there's a Shell station 2 blocks ahead.
Right.
And because we noted there are 2 people in the car, if you go in right now, we'll give you a free coffee.
Wow.
That's the edge.
Right.
Well, that's owning the edge. The edge is the car.
Right.
Right? We need to own the edge. The edge used to be about being in the mall.
Yeah.
The edge today is about being in the glass, right? Being automated.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, life automated, in essence. It's interesting. Now, what happens is, of course, that's probably why you live in Lake Tahoe. It gives you more time to go out and go skiing.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it's interesting.
But mostly like you, I'm on an airplane flying around talking to people or going to one of these businesses I work on and learning these lessons.
Yeah.
You know, I spoke to a company the other day, gave a speech to the Hartford Steam Boiler Insurance Company. They're 150 years old. They insure boilers because boilers blow up, right?
Right.
Every manufacturing has a boiler. I said, well, what do you do today? What have you added? They said, oh, we're into the Internet of Things. I said, why? They said, because it's an industrial process. They're going to be integral to making new things, right, controlling processes, and they're going to break, so they need to be insured. To us, they're just like a boiler. And I went, wow. This company is going to be 200 years old because they get it.
Right.
They understand their skill, and they're applying their skill to 21st century problems. That's what this book tries to teach you how to do.
What do you think is the most important?
Because there is no perpetual motion machine.
Right. Well, but there will be soon, just so you know, because that's where we're going.
Oh, yeah, right. It's coming next from Elon Musk, the perpetual motion machine.
Probably so, the son of a bee. Anyway, all right, now, let's do this. And I know you own a Tesla because you told me. This guy, I love his entrepreneur stuff. And I think that, you know, he is such a disruptive guy. So like you said, disruption off, that's the name of the book. But what do you think is the most important chapter in this 100-chapter book?
I think it's a chapter called Risky Business, and it's about how to take small risks. You know, big business doesn't take big risk, but you have to realize, think of sports. If you're a baseball player, you fail 70% of the time.
Right.
If you're batting 300, right? But you get a lot of chances. So you have to take a lot of small risks. You're going to hit the thing like Travelocity that'll go big, but you won't hit it if you only do one thing. You've got to try over and over again to find that thing that'll take you to the next level.
There you go. Beautiful. Disruption Off is the name of the book. You can find it on Amazon or at Terry Jones' website, which is TB as in boy, tbjones.com. Great job, Terry. Congratulations on all your success. Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Very good. And you guys, happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. And happy Festivus for the rest of us. I don't have time to say all the rest of them. We'll be back next week. Same time, same channel. This is Entrepreneur Weekly.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.